Ja, gute Woche. You'll be more for me. You have to include this in my when I say kizav doing the alchit, but I'm going to change course. Just since I do that often, maybe it's not called kizav now. I think it's kind of like built into the expectation. We began building up a topic last week, the topic of tefillah, which I would like to come back to, Bezos Hashem. But since this is our last week before Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to want to change course for now and put our square focus on Rosh Hashanah. And then we had to come back to the important questions and issues that we began raising last week. So let's talk Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is famously the Yom HaDin, which means that simply understood, it's a scary day. And yet, we put seemingly very little focus on actual tshuva and on the Yom HaDin itself, meaning, if you look at the Nusach of the Tfilis, the way Anshei Knesset HaGedolah set it up, you see that what really takes over the scene is a different theme, not the theme of Yom HaDin, but rather the theme of Malchus Shamayim. And in Shacharis, I mean, in the standard tefillah of Rosh Hashanah, there's pretty much no mention of the Yom HaDin. In Musaf, you have some, it touches on it in the brachas of Zichronis. When we say Zochreinu L'chaim, etc., Zochreinu L'chaim and B'sefer Chaim, we have to remember that that's not even really an essential part of the tefillah, that the Gaonim came in about 700 years later, approximately, and said, after all, it's Pikuach Nefesh, let's stick in something about the Zochreinu L'chaim. But that's not how the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah set it up. And in fact, we would think, we're busy with tshuva afterwards. Rosh Hashanah is the day where it's really all being laid down. We would think that that would be the day to be busy with tshuva, but it's ad kedei kach that we're not even supposed to be mentioning chet on Rosh Hashanah. We're busy with al chet afterwards. We're busy with al chet afterwards. But on Rosh Hashanah, we're not supposed to be mentioning chet. Don't be busy with vidui. We say dafke not to, because it's a sensitive day and we don't want to arouse any sort of kitrug. You ask why is Yom Kippur better? Yom Kippur is a day of a totally different nature. Kippur is a day of total love and racham. But ironically, we don't mention chet, even when it says, Avinu Malkeinu Chatanu Lifanecha, it's a whole discussion. Do we say it? Don't we say it? I believe that the Sfaradim don't say it.
We don't get no clock, right?
Right. And there's explanations why we do say it. Whatever the case is, we're seeing that there is a different focus on Rosh Hashanah. Almost ignoring, I'm not saying that because we're certainly not ignoring the Yom HaDin at all, but in terms of where we're putting our primary focus, we're moving it over to the theme of Malchus Shamayim, of Hamlochas Hashem. We've discussed this in previous years. I still want to run through the basics because the basics don't change. And then see if we can expand a bit in terms of the Lamaisa. But let's appreciate the point that we've discussed a number of times. And that is that it's true and not true. Meaning, here's the way Avigdor Miller put it is we certainly are involved with tshuva and Rosh Hashanah. But not tshuva as in addressing the specifics, but rather going all the way back to the root and getting our focus right. And setting ourselves, putting ourselves back in the right place. And that is to remember that Be'etzem, we can frame it this way. We won't frame it that way, we'll frame it a different way. What Hashem is basically coming and saying is, in Rosh Hashanah, I am creating a new world. That is another very important element of Rosh Hashanah. Ze hayom tchilas maaseichu. Be'etzem, there's a new world taking form. The world, time is not an ongoing entity. Time goes in circles. like this. It reaches the end of its circle, it's done. And now a new circle starts. Which means that actually Rosh Hashanah, when we talk about it as being the head of the year, really is. There's this entity of time called a year, which is discrete. It's not connected to the previous year. It's not connected to the following year. It's a new Bria. It's a new Bria. Ramchal talks about this at length. And Rosh Hashanah is its head. And this is where Malchus Shamayim and Deim Adin fit in. If a new creation is being created, it's only natural that the first thing that happens in that new world is the crown Hashem as king of that world. And this is where the Yom HaDin ties in also. Because if Hashem is creating a new world, he's being crowned as king of that world, that means that he is laying out, he's not creating a world in a vacuum, he has a vision for that world. And therefore, what he's doing on Rosh Hashanah is he's saying, okay, which players do I want in this world? What roles do I want them fulfilling? What place do I want them to have in this world? And this is where the three great themes of Rosh Hashanah tie together. There's a new beginning. Hashem is being crowned as the king of that world, of this new world. And he is laying down the game plan for this world. And this is where we come. And each of us are given our place in that world, our role in that world. And we're going to be equipped with what Hashem sees as necessary for us to play that role in this world. Okay. Now, how do we get from here to the Simcha of Rosh Hashanah? Why is Rosh Hashanah a Yom Tov? If so, we're understanding that it's crowning Hashem as king. And we're understanding that it's therefore it's a Yom HaDin. Okay. Why does it become a Yom Tov? That's something that really begs explanation because Chazal already talked about this. Sifrei Chaim v'Sifrei Meisim Psuchim. That's why we don't say Hallel. Why are we celebrating? And here's what we're going to really try to get into the heart of the experience of Rosh Hashanah. And that is the following. Hashem is being crowned as king. If we've been exposed to what a coronation really looks like, or even a presidential inauguration, it's a very, very big deal. And Hashem is notifying us in advance, I want you to be a part of my coronation. I'm inviting you as the close family to participate in that coronation, to be a part of my celebration. I'll frame it like this. This is actually a pasuk in Nehemiah. But what happened was that Ezra and Nehemiah came back to Eretz Yisrael after the Golus Bavel. And who was left in Eretz Yisrael throughout the Golus Bavel? All the cream of the crop were carried off at the Churban Bayis region. It says, who was left in Eretz Yisrael at the time? The Dalas Ha'am, the lowest levels of the people. They were left without leadership. Gedaliah ben Achikam was killed early along, right? They were left without leadership to kind of deal on their own. A bunch of ignorant, simple people. And by the time Ezra and Nehemiah came back to build the Bayis Sheni, they found Eretz Yisrael, the state of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, in total disrepair. It was spiritual shambles.
Exactly. No,
There were Jews. There was a small amount. There weren't that many, but it certainly was populated, and was populated. There were also other nations there. We had the Kusim, etc. But the Jews that were there were the lowest layer. And many of them had married non-Jews. When Ezra and Nehemiah came back, they found a whole community of Jews who were had drifted very far because they didn't have anybody to lead them and guide them. Many of them were married to non-Jews. So Ezra and Nehemiah embarked on a great Kiruv mission. Now, Kiruv in those days looked different than it does in our days. In our days, it's a very warm process. In those days, it was a hot process, as in fire and brimstone. There wasn't singing over chalent. There was slamming them over the head. That was what Kiruv looked like in those days, and it worked in those days. Doesn't work, won't work today. Don't try that. They gave it to them over the head. And the people understood that they were in a very bad situation. And okay, it was a whole process to do with the Geisha wives, etc., whatever it is. As this is happening, Rosh Hashanah hit. Rosh Hashanah hit. And the people who understood their bad state, and they also understood that this was the Emadin, they were all stand, they were all weeping. The people were all crying. That's really to re appreciate that. That's already a significant accomplishment. Imagine that, right? Ezra and Nehemiah got them to a place, and when Rosh Hashanah hit, they were all crying, basically nationwide weeping. So I don't know exactly how this worked. Apparently, they were all concentrated pretty much in one place, but Nehemiah got up and spoke to them. And he said to them the following pasuk. And this for us, we're going to take this as the core of the experience of Rosh Hashanah. He said to them the following pasuk. I'll say it first in Lashon Kodesh, and we'll translate it piece by piece. He said, "Lichu ichluma shmanim, ushtumam takim, v'shulchum monois le'ein nochem loyim, ve'al te otzevu, ki kodesh hayom ladoneinu, v'chedvas Hashem himo'uzchu." Let's translate that. Go eat delicacies, drink sweet drinks, and make sure that everybody else around has what to eat also. If anybody doesn't have, send them food for Yom Tov. And don't be sad, because this is a Kaddish day for Hashem, and this, we'll just translate literally, the celebration of Hashem is your fortification. Let's explain what he's Batsim saying here. What he's saying is as follows. He's saying, you're very worried. It's the Yom HaDin, and you know about all the things you may have done wrong, etc. But right now, there's a different focus. Right now, there's a different focus. After Rosh Hashanah, you'll move on to deal with the specifics. But first, it's about moving ourselves into the right place. And what is that? If this is the day of Malchus Hashem, so we are making ourselves a part of that. We are joining that celebration. And on the contrary, you know what's going to earn you this chus of Rosh Hashanah? You know what's going to put you in the best place in terms of being Zeichah Bedin in Rosh Hashanah? It is your simcha in Hashem's coronation. Meaning, if for you, Hashem taking the throne is a simcha, you are celebrating the fact that I'm moving into a world of Malchus Hashem. Maybe I moved out of that world in the last year. But you know what? I moved out of that world and I'm not happy about it. And the fact that Hashem is taking the throne, and that I'm going to move myself back under His jurisdiction. But the bottom line being that my Hashem, my Avi Shebashamayim, is taking the throne. That is a great simcha. Think of it in the following terms. I don't know Hilchus coronation and how it works in England, but they were just drawing. I know that in the US, right, the minig is that after the big national inauguration, so the new president has a banquet that night for the people close to him. All of his people, the family, etc., the people close to him. So when there's a big coronation is a very big ceremony. Is everybody really happy? Well, a lot of people are nervous. You could have people who are anticipating trouble, right? Not necessarily cause for joy for everybody. Certainly the king is happy. But who else is happy? Who else is actually celebrating at the coronation? And the answer is the close family, the close circle, the king's close circle. And these are the people who are going to come to celebrate with him personally afterwards. For them, it's a great simcha. My father is becoming the king. My brother is becoming the king. Whoever, my best friend is becoming the king. For these people, it's a great simcha. And this is the place where we want to be putting ourselves on Rosh Hashanah.
Good. And that's so nervous because he's also. I'm allowing him, he's also judging us for Rachman.
Oh, so this is right. We want to get to all this. Just to immediately address the point that you're making, we'll show that if we really just look at it very much on paper, Rosh Hashanah is din, afterwards the Rachamim kicks in. Yom Kippur, for example, is a day of total racham. It's like the rachamim and the ava that's pouring down on Yom Kippur is unimaginable. I don't know if we still have a shir between now and then, but I would like to get to Yom Kippur with its own focus. Rosh Hashanah, taken simply, is a day of din. Yet, we're really trying to get to the point that you made, and that is, let's see what's behind the din. Din is din, but let's see what's behind the din. Let's find the personal dynamic that we have with Hashem within that din. So let's appreciate that point. Yes, Hashem is coming and saying, I'm going to be crowned king on this day, which means that I am going to be judging everybody. I'm going to be judging everybody. So you are receiving two envelopes in the mail. You're receiving a summons for judgment. You're receiving another summons. You're receiving another envelope. And that is an invitation. Who's judging? The new king. You're also getting another invitation. And that a separate envelope. One has a little more formal, official look on it. But the other one is a very, very grand-looking envelope that is saying you are invited to join the banquet, the coronation banquet, as one of the king's personal family. That's what's happened. And it's from that angle that we're approaching the din. Meaning, if you just show up, you don't know about Hashem's love, you're just nervous, etc. So, okay, to say there, we'll see what your we'll see what your din will be. But Hashem, first of all, he's coming and inviting us to join as his close family. And also more than that, he's actually sending us messages. He says, okay, I'm forgetting exactly the nusach of Chazal now, but the point is that when he tells us in advance, I want you to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, kedesh tamlichuni aleichem, kedesh yale zichuneichem lefonei. In other words, what is the shofar essentially? The shofar gives many significances to the shofar. But in terms of our experience, the shofar is the trumpet that's actually heralding the coronation. The shofar blowing is the moment of coronation. Yes, 1 minute. Shofar blows at one time in this shul and at a different time in that shul. How does that work? And what if I hear it after davening b'chol? These things are above time. And each person is going through the moment of coronation when they're hearing the shofar. And Hashem is telling us in advance, here's how I want you to go through the din. Go through the din. What is the din? What's the idea of zikaron? Yom zikaron. That's what we call Rosh Hashanah. Zichron Truah, Hashem calls it. Zichron is a remembrance, meaning just to explain that in practical terms, what it means is you're presenting yourself to Hashem. Hashem is going to be reviewing you. You're presenting yourself to Hashem. And that is really the Yesod of Din. You're presenting yourself to Hashem for review. He's going to be checking you out and saying, okay, let's see what you're up to and what place do I want to give you in my world. But here Hashem is coming and telling us, you're not going to be like the Indonesians and the Iranians and the Danish. They're all going to be reviewed, but they don't know about it. And I'm not giving them the opportunity or the tip-off to prepare themselves for it. Here I'm coming and giving you the information of how you should present yourself to me so that, so that, in other words, what Hashem is saying is, I'm going to be sitting as a judge, right? But I'm slipping you under the table notes. Here's what you should do. Because I'm wearing the hat of a judge on the one hand, but again, I'm also your father who's taking the throne on the other hand, and I want to help you get to a favorable place. It is din, but we're accessing the dynamics behind the din and the ava that's hiding behind it through, and we're experiencing that through the very fact that Hashem is slipping us that information under the table. That's why the whole thing of the din is actually the Torah, it's very ambiguous. Which is something all this farm note. It doesn't say in the Torah that it's a Yema Din. Chazal came and tell us it later. It's alluded to in the fact that Hashem says it's a day of presenting yourself in front of me. And then David HaMelech brings it out a little more. He discloses a little more of the secret in the pasuk that says, "Tukubach chodesh shofar b'keselim chagenu ki chokli Yisrael hu mishpat leilekei Yaakov." Oh, he already let out a little bit more of the secret. And then Chazal came and spoke it out for us. So The point is that it is a Yom HaDin. But Hashem is saying, here's how you put yourself in the most favorable place. The most favorable place is to be coming as family kiviyachol. I'm inviting you to join the coronation. Be there, experiencing my coronation and making me the king of your own personal world. And that already puts you in a very favorable place.
Otherwise, Hashem is judging the whole world on that day.
That's
He's
right.
inviting us
Exactly. That's the
to
point.
close
That's right.
the family.
Exactly. That's the point. And Hashem is saying, I'm going to be judging you too. But here's how I want to do it. Cooperate with me, put yourself in the right place, and that is what's setting you up for success. So now let's take this a little bit further. So first, before we take it further, let's round it out a little bit. So really what's happening is, to appreciate sitting down for a Yom Tov Sukkah. Like I said, it's paradoxical. The truth is that Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah, in terms of the experience, almost get confused with each other. Rosh Hashanah feels like a geschmack day. Yom Kippur feels like a scary day. Well, actually, it's the other way around. Yom Kippur, all the fasting and the vidui and the crying is just because, we'll have to talk about when we get there, it's because you're in such a power wash of love and rachamim that we are doing everything we can to take in the most. That's the pshat and all the vidduim and the crying and the fasting, etc. So we want this to we want to squeeze everything we can out of such a day. In Rosh Hashanah, we're moving through the din by accessing the rachamim that's behind it. So when you're sitting down to the Yom Tov Suda, you have to be thinking of it, experiencing it in that way. That's also why the Yom Tov Suda of Rosh Hashanah is a bit of a different dynamic than a Yom Tov Suda of a Yom Tov. You should always be serious and focused, not just let loose. But Rosh Hashanah, it's the understanding that it's like Hashem is saying, my coronation is taking place in Shemayim with all the billions of malachim. You're my child who's, you're not in Shemayim right now, but I want you to join. I want you to join in your satellite little, your home is a satellite station of the coronation. Sit down for a Suda, join the coronation celebration. Join the celebration. And think of it in those terms also when you're davening. If you'll be at home, if you'll be in shul. But I have the different piyutim that they describe, like the just like overwhelming piyutim. You don't know exactly what to do with them, how you connect, like Adire Ayuma Yadiru, because all these piyutim about the myriads of malachim that are busy just saying Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech. And it's like, what does that have to do with us? And the answer is that you're joining that now. That's what's going on in Shemayim now. In Shemayim now, there's a whole grand, magnificent coronation with billions of malachim who are just standing and saying, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. Right? And they are so in awe that they are sweating, as Chazal put it, like they're sweating rivers of fire. Don't ask me exactly what that means, but that's the Lashon. And there's billions of them. And Hashem is saying, well, wait a minute. I want you to be here also. Where are my children here? We're going up. We're joining them. It's almost as though we're stepping out of Olam HaZeh for these 2 days, and we're moving into that experience of Hashem Melech, the coronation of Hashem. Okay. Now, what about tshuva? And the answer is that this is really the root of all the tshuva. Afterwards, we're going to get into the details. But the first thing is, we're putting ourselves back in that place. We're putting ourselves back in a place of a world of Hashem Melech. Any aveira we do throughout the year is because of the fact that our focus shifts. We get distracted by things, etc., etc. What we're doing now is coming and saying, placing myself squarely under Hashem's throne and saying, Hashem Melech. When I'm celebrating his coronation, I'm not just celebrating like Yisrael Salanta used to say, that you have to, it says that when you say Shema, you're supposed to be thinking of declaring Hashem as king of the Al Baruch Hu HaShemayim, right? Of all directions. So, or north, south, east, west. He's the king everywhere. North, south, east, west. So Bishol Salanta said, but don't forget one detail besides north, south, east, west, also me. Right? So when we're talking about declaring, celebrating the coronation of Hashem, we're not just talking about the celebration that's up in Shemayim. We're talking about The coronation of Hashem over me in my world. This is the world I'm putting myself back into, living with the sole agenda of Hashem Melech. That's what my life is all about. That's what I'm all about. And this is how I'm setting my focus for the coming year. And that's how I'm presenting myself to Hashem. Hashem, you're setting up a new kingdom. I am at the front line of your subjects, ready and standing at your beck and call. I'm going to be living this year with the reality of Hashem Melech permeating my whole life. This is the source of all tshuva. All tshuva stems from this. Afterwards, you step out of Rosh Hashanah into the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Okay, now that I'm back in the world of Hashem Melech, let me address the details that I have to set in order. And here's where you move on to Al Chet. What are the things that have to be fixed up in my life? But first, I'm back in the right place. I'm back in the right place. I'm living in that reality of Hashem Melech. This is what gives Hashem nachas. This is what makes you desirable to him, as this is one of the central players that I want in my world. And it's not just setting ourselves in that world of Hashem Melech, but it's the simcha of doing it, saying, this is the world I want to be living in. Simcha in the fact that Ovi Sheba Shamayim is taking the throne, and I'm moving into this new world as a child and as a most loyal servant of this Hashem Melech. Of this Hashem Melech. That's my reality. There's a very fundamental Rav Dessler on this. I think we've said it all the years. So I want to move on to. I'm going to skip it now. Sorry. But I want to move into a few of the practical angles of this. Meaning, the first question is, okay, so what does this mean, lemais? What does it mean, lemais? How does it manifest itself? The first answer is that everything we discussed up till now is the lemais. That's what Altav Slabodki used to say, but Avigdor Miller used to relate this all the time. Lemaisa stems from where you are in your mind and heart. Your awareness of Hashem. These are 2 days that are focused on reinstating that keen sensory, concrete awareness of Hashem as the center of my life, as the guiding light of my life. That's what we say, the Dovid Hashem Oiri, Oiri and Rosh Hashanah. Oiri is Rosh Hashanah, right? Yishi is Yom Kippur. Oiri, Hashem is my light. What does it mean that Hashem is my light? What it means is that I'm living my life enlightened by my awareness of Hashem. Instead of making decisions without Hashem in the equation, and that might be stumbling in all kinds of ways, Hashem is the guiding light of my entire life. All the decisions I'm making, I'm living in that clarity of Hashem Melech, instead of living in the darkness as far as Hashem Melech goes and using all kinds of other cheshbonos to guide my life. My life is guided and enlightened by Hashem Melech. Hashem is the flashlight that I use to make my way through life. So that's number one. Awareness. Awareness of Hashem is an end in itself, a very, very great end in itself. It's not just you have to be aware of Hashem so that you'll do what he wants. But on the contrary, many of the mitzvahs we do are in order to impress upon us that much more awareness. The more Hashem fills our minds and hearts and our day-to-day reality, the more Hashem is alive, our relationship with Hashem is something alive, something real. We feel his warmth toward us, we're experiencing it, and we're reciprocating. And we're making sure to be giving him nachas all the time. And we're experiencing the pleasure and gratification of knowing that we're giving him nachas. That's number one, the awareness of itself. But let's briefly touch on a few of the points of what this means, lemaisa. Now, again, lemaisa, we move on, right? We said for 2 days we're stepping out of Olam Hazeh and going back to that world of Hashem Melech, up Bishmei Maran. Afterwards, I'm going to be moving back in and say, okay, so what are the concrete things that I have to fix in my life? But let's talk about more the what Hashem Melech expresses itself in. So we're going to touch on 4 points that are, again, I'm stressing, this is not what Hashem Melech means. These are four results of Hashem Melech. But what it first means is that Hashem is filling my mind and heart, and he's a reality for me, and I'm experiencing him in my life. Now, let's touch on four things. So, first of all, if you're really moving into a world of Hashem Melech, like we said before, and you're standing at the moment of Tkiyat Shofar, or any point throughout Rosh Hashanah, and you're experiencing the coronation of Hashem in my personal world. Up till now, Hashem might not have been in that central place in my world, or he may have kind of he shifted out of my focus. My focus shifted, but I'm putting myself back in that place. So number one is, when I say number one, not necessarily in order, but number one is Hashem controls my world. I'm putting myself at Hashem's disposal. And therefore, anything that happens, I'm taking a perspective of Hashem Melech. Hashem is going to be guiding my life. And therefore, I'm talking to myself right now. Come home from shul on Lil Rosh Hashanah, ready for a very elevated Malchus Hashem coronation Suda. And you know what? My 11-year-old and my 9-year-old, they have other ideas. And they're at each other's throats before I start Kiddush. Okay? And 1 minute, Rabbi Yisrael, Hashem Melech, who's sitting in a coronation Suda. No, but they know about what they know about right now is the fight over the sea. And I'm about to plot because this is not what Hashem Melech is supposed to look like. Here's where Hashem Melech kicks in. In my own personal world, Hashem Melech means take what I give you, right? And put yourself at my disposal. Hashem Melech means that, okay, he's guiding things. Melech is also Miloshen Moilich. He is guiding and dictating. And whatever comes my way, I take with the perspective of Hashem Melech. So that's aspect number one of how it translates Lamaisa. Aspect number two is that if it's true, Hashem Melech, and I am presenting myself as your loyal subject, so that means that my first and foremost agenda in life is Hashem. This is really Dvarim Pshutim, but let's lay it down anyways. To be Meshabed my Rotzeh to Hashem, to subject my desires to Hashem. We'll call it in very simple terms, right? Halacha, without nonsense, doing what Hashem expects. Making that first and foremost. In other words, Hashem Melech is not just meant to be an elevated spiritual experience, which feels great and inspiring, but isn't really nageya once it comes down to the nitty-gritty of life. Hashem Melech means that he calls the shots and I have to obey orders. That's aspect number two. So yes, it means overcoming your own desires, etc., in order to put Hashem first. Number three is Kniyah. This Alter of Kelm lists these last three. Kniyah, we're not going to spend a lot of time on that now. It's a big subject. What it means, very briefly, is living with humility, as in living with that sense of I am a servant in the presence of the master. The true depth of the Midas HaNov, and this is a big subject, we're not going to get into it now. I'm just going to touch on it briefly because I want to get to the last point. But the true depth of the Midas HaNov is not just about being a humble and unassuming person. Person can be humble and unassuming. It is a positive character trait, but it can also come in a vacuum. And again, lack of gaiva means to be humble and unassuming. Anava is much, much more than a lack of gaiva. Lack of gaiva is a great accomplishment. Lack of gaiva is a great accomplishment, and therefore, once again, being humble and unassuming is something that we hold in very high regard. But you see that Messiah celebrates Anava as being almost all the way at the top of the ladder. And that's something deeper. That is the humility that comes from the fact that I'm keenly aware of the great presence that I'm in. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu the Anav Mikol Adam? Because he was the person who most experienced Hashem's presence. Because he was the one who was Pe'el Pe'a Daber Bo. Because he spoke to Hashem most directly and experienced him most directly. That's why he was never able to feel haughty, because he was always right there in Hashem's presence. I have two mashalim to bring this out. A little more mundane mashalim. I'll give one now because I want to move on to the last point. But imagine, and again, forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but imagine if you imagine a very, very, very multi-million billionaire, who has his time in the day when he receives people are just coming to ask for help. Has his hour in the day when he receives people are just coming to ask for help. And every day there's a lineup of 50 people, each want to come and make their case and see what he'll give them. So in line you have Beryl and Shmerel, they're number 7 and 8 in the line. Each of them basically has the same sob story. You know, they're really struggling and they in debt and they're having a very hard time putting food on the table. Would he help them? Okay, Beryl goes in first, presents his case to this billionaire, tells him his whole story, and the billionaire looks at him with sympathy and says, "I want to help you out." And Beryl can't believe it. He writes him out a check for $500,000. Beryl, all of a sudden, he's a well-to-do man. In one moment, he's at the top of the world. Now, before Beryl leaves the room, Shmerel steps in. Beryl's still standing there. Now Shmerel starts telling his whole story. So as Beryl starts talking, as he starts talking, Beryl, who just now he has $500,000 in his hand, he says, "Yes, tell it to us. We can help you out. We have money." He's standing next to this philanthropist. He even goes around the desk and sits down next to him, puts his arm around the rich guy, and says, "Hey, tell us your story. We can help you out. We have money." Right? So obviously this is very off. Maybe that's why Beryl got into that bad state in the first place. But whatever the case is, there's two issues here. First of all, you have $500,000. In the presence of a billionaire, don't say you have money. But second of all, where'd you get those $500,000 from? You're still here. He just gave it to you. You're a schnorrer. Don't look at Schmerl and say, "I have money. Me and him have money. We can help you out." Right? This is really the Yesod of Anava. The Yesod of Anava is if I'm keenly aware of Hashem's presence, I feel funny drawing any attention to my milas, to my abilities. On the contrary, the more milas I have, the more humbled I feel because the more of a schnorrer I am. If you have more brains than the other person and you're both standing there together before Hashem, you have to feel more humble. That's Ramban brings it out. This is a big subject, just touched on it in a very basic way right now. And that is, again, point number three in the Lamaisa is the kniyah that you feel before Hashem. Now, the Chovas HaVavos in his whole Sha'ar Kniyah talks about how the more the person walks around with this humbled sense of awe, the more Hashem cherishes his relationship with him. Because that makes the dynamic with Hashem real. It's not just spiritual, lofty feelings, but it's something very real. I know my place with Hashem. Hashem is a real reality in my life. And because of that, I feel humbled the whole time. Now, one effect of this is going to be the way we're going to respond to offenses. Because if a person says something to me, instead of my ego inflating, my ego is incapable of inflating because, again, I'm feeling that presence. So just kind of like that. Again, these are big subjects that deserve their own elaboration, but I'm throwing it out now at the tip of the iceberg as Ten Lechachem V'Yech Kamoid. These things have to be elaborated on. Let's briefly bring out the last point. So this is a surprising point that the Alter of Kelm says, and I'm going to give my guess as to what he means. Due trepidation based on my link to the Alter of Kelm, Avigdor Miller, who said a lot that could shed light on what the Alter of Kelm said. I'll note that Avigdor Miller was a spiritual descendant of the Alter of Kelm, spiritual. He said he attributed much of his Torah to the Alter of Kelm. Avigdor Miller was famously a Talmud of Slabodka. Slabodka was a spiritual child of Kelm. Slabodka came from Kelm. Whatever the case is, the Alter of Kelm said that the fourth element of implementing Malchus Hashem is Ribui HaHatava, to be doing chesed, to be doing good for the people around. Now, what does that have to do with Malchus Hashem? I mean, it's beautiful to plug Bein Adam HaChaver into anything you're talking about. It's beautiful to say that the real lesson of Hanukkah is to be nice to people and that the lesson of Purim is to be nice to people. It's a beautiful thing and it works. But if you want to really talk concrete, Hatava is wonderful, but what does that have to do with Malchus Hashem? So he said it very tersely. The Alter of Kelm just said it very tersely. He just said, Aleph Beis Gimel, these are the three points of implementing Malchus Hashem. The first point that we said was Shvira Saratzoi for Hashem, and number two was Kniyah, and number three was Riboy HaHatava. But I would seems clear to me, based on everything Rabbi Avigdor Miller is saying all the time, is the following. And here also, I'm going to do this lean out mini nether over the next 4 minutes in case you're wondering. But again, very briefly, Hashem's primary career in this world is chesed. And this is, right, the Chavos HaVavos is trying to impress on us in Shaar HaBechina, and something Rabbi Avigdor Miller spoke about all the time. We are surrounded by chesed. Hashem is busy pouring chesed down to each, onto each of us. The reason we don't necessarily feel it is because we aren't properly schooled in sensing all of Hashem's chesed. So much of it are things that we take for granted. But anybody who's capable of sitting here now and isn't in the hospital is experiencing 90% of their life is chesed, and that's probably a modest estimate. So much that goes into the functioning of our body, so much all around us. Just we're used to all those things. We take it for granted. But and that's the subject of Shaar HaBechina, fine. But the point is, Hashem's primary career is chesed. This is what he's showering down. This is what he created the world for. This is what characterizes his world. And this is how he wants to be known. That's how he wants us to know him. That's an avodah. So here, the question is, this is a question that Turnus Rufus, the Roman governor, Ezra ben Akiva, if Hashem loves Aniyim, why does he leave them poor? Why are there needy people around? And Rabbi Akiva answered him, for us, in order to give us the opportunity to care for them. In other words, Hashem is saying, whether we're talking about a needy person, or whether we're talking about your child, or you're talking about your spouse, people who I'm in their life and I'm capable of giving to them. Hashem says, you know what? I can take care of that person much better than you. Whether it's the needy person, whether it's the child, whether it's the spouse, I can give them all the money they need. I can give them the emotional support they need. I can give them the warmth they need. I can do a much better job than you. But you know what? I held back. And I left it for you. Why? Because I want you to be with me in the family business. My business is chesed. You, as my child, I want you to be with me in the family business. I want you to be a partner with me. I want you to be learning the trade, learning the family trade. Let's bring it out even more powerfully. I want you to resemble me. I want somebody to look at you and say, wow, spiritually, she looks just like her father. Characterized by nesina, characterized by hatava, characterized by chesed. And therefore, if you see yourself as a medium, I'm capable. There's all kinds, a lot of chesed Hashem that can channel through me to the people around me, whether it's in terms of material help. But let's just talk in terms of family, okay? I am the person that Hashem said, my warmth to that child, or my warmth to that neighbor, or to that person, I'm handing over to you a whole bunch. You hand over my warmth. Let my warmth to that person come through you. By you giving the good feeling to that person, you're actually spreading Hashem's warmth and care to that person. You represent me. What are you doing, Be'etzem, when you're busy doing that? When you, in your Dalet Amos, are busy spreading Hatava and busy spreading warmth and doing what you could do, what you're essentially doing is you are completing the picture of Malchus Hashem. Malchus Hashem ultimately is meant to be characterized by Chesed all over. So here you have the grand chesed of rain coming down, which Hashem is doing. And you have the grand chesed of everybody's body working. But then you have Hashem's representatives all over the place that are busy filling their little spaces with Hashem's chesed and bringing the picture of Malchus Hashem to its completion. So we discussed the shoresh of Malchus Hashem, and that is simply moving into the world of experiencing Malchus Hashem, celebrating that as the experience of Yom Kippur. And then four practical aspects of that. A, Hashem guides my life. Whatever happens in my life is coming from Him. B, subjecting my will to His. C, the kniyah. And number four is spreading the hatava in order to round out what Malchus Hashem is really meant to look like. And us joining Him and partnering Him and doing that with Him as the children that He's raising into the family business. We'll all move into that great world of Malchus Hashem and see it reach its full glory, Bezos Hashem. Continue.
Thank you. That was beautiful.
Chim to you. Chim to you. A good Woche and a good Yom.
Thank you.